Sounds awfully loud. Psalm 33. Anytime I minister, we're going to start with this scripture. Lord, put this on my heart. And in the view of things that happened today, in light of all the events that took place this morning, verse 12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance." I believe with all my heart that God's hands upon this nation now. Amen. We have turned our hearts back to him. Mm-hmm. There's been a seismic shift, or a paradigm shift, if you will. People's hearts are being turned back to the Lord. He's never gone away. He's just been waiting for us to come back to him. Return unto the Lord. And in light of what happened today, please go to 1 Timothy. Yeah, I know it's in the New Testament. Yes, anybody was going to question that right off the bat. Tone's going to be a little different this evening, folks. We're not going to do a whole lot of scriptures, but I'll explain to you what we're going to do here. 1 Timothy chapter 2. This church is very familiar with this. I'm reading out of the New King James. I'm sure any of the other translations follow along pretty close with this. Therefore, this is Paul writing. This is Timothy, I'm sorry. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, and intercessors, and giving of thanks be made for only the people you agree with.
No.
See, my Bible says all men. Amen. It says all men. For kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. I was stood in stunned belief in the shop this morning with the TV on to hear the announcement that some representatives of the United States government were shot while attending a practice for a baseball game. I almost couldn't believe what was coming out of the TV set. I'm sure many of you felt the same way. The very first thing I did was pray for their healing and that they would survive this horrible, horrific act. I prayed for all the first responders, whoever was involved. And you know, and I know I'm saved, but the spirit man saved. Some of the things in my brain still need saved, and I have to tell you, I was angry that God shot him. Mm-hmm. And I was almost in tears, to the point where all I could think, my first thought was, please let him die. And that just shows you how screwed up your brain can get when you're angry. And then God really quickened to me, you know what? It's all men. It's all men. He wants to be saved. So I actually prayed for that man's healing also, because I had to do it. That's what the Bible says to do. I'm supposed to pray for all men. Now, for all positions, for kings, that's people that are in positions of authority. We weren't called to judge another man's servant. We're called to pray for these people so you and I can live at peace. There's a lot of things going on in this country now, and unfortunately, peace isn't real high on the list. Pastor and I were talking before service. I'm more than concerned. I'm almost fearful about what kind of a world my grandchildren are going to inherit. And I don't know if we are on the verge of a civil war in this nation, but we're very, very, very close. Mm-hmm. Now, understand something. Some of the hate speech that's taking place right now under the auspices or the watching of the First Amendment, free speech, First Amendment right, freedom of expression, cannot be taken away no matter how much you disagree with it. But what people are saying, you have a right to free speech. No. You do not have a right to be heard. Because no. I don't have to listen to you. I don't. You have a right to say what you want to say, but you do not have a right to be heard. People say, well, you can't yell fire in a crowded theater. You can if the theater's on fire.
Yeah.
Yes, you can. Okay? So the problem with hate speech is if you want it that censored, then somebody is going to declare this book hate speech.
Come on,
it's happened in other countries already. It would not be new. So if you can get past all the Democrat, Republican, independents, and the stupid labels and just look at it as good versus evil, it's Satan versus the body of Christ. He would love nothing better than to have you so outraged that you'll say, yes, yes, just censor that speech so he can get to where you're not going to hear God's word, because that's his ultimate plan, because this is what has defeated him. It's not going to defeat him. It has defeated him. And if he can stop that and stop this nation is the cradle of the gospel. We have found favor with God and with man because of how we minister the gospel, how we side with Israel. You've heard me say this 100 times. Nothing has changed. And he wants to stop that and destroy it. And if he means destroying families or anything on the way, perfect for him. Just perfect for him. So as abhorrent as you find somebody holding the head of our president severed, or a group of artistic people in a theater group stabbing Donald Trump and his wife to death, like he's Caesar, and as much as that nauseates you, to all the other things have been done in the name of art with the crucifix and some other things that we refuse to even say out loud or acknowledge. If that nauseates you, that's part of the free speech that we have guaranteed to us by our Constitution. All you can do is pray for those people. And you know what? That's the most powerful weapon we have, church, and it's the church that has to do it. We have to do this. The only way this is going to stop is if we start praying for people that are in positions of authority. Now, you know, when I pray for people in positions of authority, I start with the President of the United States. I go right down cabinet, everything, state and local governments, town council members, police officers. Please pray for our police officers. Those two officers today saved countless numbers of lives by putting themselves in the line of fire and drawing the fire away from the folks that were on the baseball field. Absolutely amazing. And did it while being shot themselves. Let's not forget this. What an amazing two people. But yet you have some folks in positions of authority that just hate the police officers, have called them everything but police officers. Positions of authority. They don't, you know, thank God he was wearing the sword. Yeah, he doesn't wear the sword in vain, the Bible tells us. He's ready to, you know, he's in God's hand to execute judgment here. That's what that's all about. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. So if you're not praying for our police officers, firefighters, EMT people, and the folks that are fighting terrorism, I would encourage you, I would exhort you as an elder in this church to do that. Yeah. Really, that's one of the things that should start the day. We're just so grateful that the people that were shot have survived. Steve Scalise is in a battle for his life. They've upgraded him, but he's in a battle for his life. I think the one officer was released. The lady was shot, I believe, in the ankle, a policewoman. And the one senator's aide was shot in the chest. He's going to be fine. So the only one is standing before Jesus right now. Probably was a short conversation. Is the only one that died. So... But it could have been tremendously worse than it was. And as bad as it is, it could have been worse. So please start praying for our police officers and people that are in positions of authority. If you don't know, today is June 14th. It is Flag Day. And I'm going to give you a little bit of education about our flag. What you think you know about it and what you may actually know may be two different things in a lot of cases. I'm not so much going to go about the history of how it came about, but I'm going to talk about the origin of Flag Day. And before we do so, let's go to Exodus chapter 17, because the name of this sermon, if you will, is called Our Banner. So Exodus chapter 17. I guess if I'm going to read it, I should go there myself. Exodus chapter 17, verses 14 and 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. Joshua is going to be the next leader of Israel. For I will utterly put out of the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. That has been fulfilled. There is not an Amalekite left anywhere on the planet. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nisi. Now, those of you who have attended this church for a while, a long time, know we've sang a song called Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner, one of the redemptive names found in the Old Testament. Now, Dakes lists 16. And we're familiar with probably the first seven or anyway. But Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner. Our flag is called the Star-Spangled Banner. It is a symbol of our nation.
Amen.
Amen? It is probably the most recognized flag anywhere in the world. But how did this all come about? Now, I'm going to read you some things here. We'll come back to the Bible for a couple of verses. But I want to read you some things that are just so fascinating. But first of all, know this. The flag is considered a living thing. And to be treated that way. Say, boy, Danny, this isn't like you. You're not being funny. But don't you know any flag jokes or anything like that? Any banner jokes? Well, I know one. Okay, just years. I don't know if you know the comedian producer named Mel Brooks. Absolutely an insane Jewish guy. Funny man. Nuts. And he made some funny, very, very funny movies. And he had for about 15 minutes a show on TV, a sitcom called When Things Were Rotten. Now, nobody remembers it because it was on for maybe 10 episodes, right? But he was great for sight gags, and they were getting a big party ready, and the king asked the people who were getting the party ready, said, is everything in order? And the man said, yes, we just finished hanging up the banners. And the camera cuts the people on the wall. There's four people hanging on the wall. Says, hi, I'm Frank Banner. This is my wife, Mary, and my son and my daughter. It's the only banner jokes that I know. That show was on not very long. Not very long, as you can see why. In that same show, the king was addressing people. They were murmuring about it. He said, hold your tongues, and they all grabbed their tongue because the sight gag is just a wonderful thing. And why I remember that, I still don't know. The origins of Flag Day. I'm going to read this as best as I can. The contrast is still fighting me a little bit, but boy, the eyes. 2012 vision, the hearing ear and the seeing eye. The Lord is the maker of them both. That the flag of the United States shall be of 13 stripes of alternate red and white, with a union of 13 stars of white in a blue field, representing the new constellation. The 13 stripes and the 13 stars represented the colonies, the 13 original colonies. This was a resolution adopted by the Continental Congress June 14, 1777. The resolution was made following the report of a special committee which had been assigned to suggest the flag's designation or design, excuse me. A flag of this design was first carried into battle on September 11, 1777. In the Battle of Brandywine, the American flag was first saluted by a foreign naval vessel on February 14, 1778, when the Ranger, which was a boat, bearing the stars and stripes and under the commander of Captain Paul Jones, arrived at a French port. The flag first flew over a foreign territory in early 1778 at Nassau in the Bahama Islands, where Americans captured a British fort. Observance of the adoption of the flag was not soon in coming, however. Although there were many claims to be the first official observance of Flag Day, all but one took place more than an entire century after the flag's adoption in 1777. Listen to this, church. This fascinated me. The first claim was from the Hartford, Connecticut celebration during the first summer of 1861, their first summer. In the late 1800s, schools all over the United States held Flag Day programs. Contributed to the Americanization of immigrant children. Just the opposite is happening today. They want our children to be taught whatever's happening over there somewhere. I just shared this with Pastor. You cannot bring over there to here without here becoming what's over there. We are not, that's not what we're here about. This is the Americanization of immigrant children, and the observance caught on with individual communities. So it's kind of small in the beginning. If you're getting bored with this and go to sleep, we'll cover you with a flag.
No,
we won't. No, we won't. That's not flag etiquette. The most recognized claim, however, comes from New York, the state of New York, on June 14th, 1889. Professor George Balch, B-O-L-C-H, I guess that's how it's pronounced, principal of the free kindergarten for the poor in New York City, had his school hold patriotic ceremonies to observe the anniversary of the Flag Day resolution. Boy, New York State, have you fallen a long ways. This initiative attracted attention from the State Department of Education, which arranged to have the day observed in all public schools thereafter. Boy, have our public schools changed. Soon the state legislature passed a law making it the responsibilities of the state's superintendents of public schools to ensure the schools hold observances for Lincoln's birthday, Washington's birthday, Memorial Day, and Flag Day. In 1897, the governor of New York ordered the displaying of the flag over all public buildings in the state, an observance considered by some to be the first official recognition of the anniversary of the adoption of the flag outside of the schools. So it was always first done in the school. Another claim comes from Philadelphia. Pennsylvania plays a big part in our flag. It's really cool stuff. Another claim comes from Philadelphia in 1893. The Society of, you ready? You want to talk about politically incorrect. And I have four sisters, but the name of this committee was the Colonial Dames. And 1883, the Society of Colonial Dames succeeded in getting a resolution passed to have the flag displayed on all of the city's public buildings. Elizabeth Duane Gillespie, a direct descendant of Benjamin Franklin and the president of the Colonial Dames of Pennsylvania, the same year tried to get the city to call June 14th Flag Day. Resolutions by women were not granted much notice back in those days. However, it is not until May 7th, 1937, that Pennsylvania became the first state to establish the June 14th Flag Day as a legal holiday. Not a federal holiday, but a legal holiday. So I don't know what was closed or not closed. Flag Day is a nationwide observance today, but Pennsylvania is the only state that recognizes it as a legal holiday. We got something right.
Yeah.
Praise God. Benjamin, I was going to say it's C. Grand, a school teacher in, this is like reading in tongues, Wabuka, Boom Shakalaka, Wisconsin, reportedly spent years trying to get Congress to declare June 14th as a national holiday. Although his attempts failed, the day was widely observed, and Father of Flag Day honors have been given to William T. Kerr, who was credited with the founding of the American Flag Day Association in 1888. While still a schoolboy in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Wow.
The President Wilson, both President Wilson in 1916 and President Coleridge in 1927, issued proclamations asking for June 14th to be observed as a National Flag Day. But it wasn't until August 3rd, 1949, that Congress approved the national observance and President Harry Truman signed it into law. There is flag etiquette. There are things that we need to know about the flag and understand why it's treated like a living thing. And living thing is the words that is used in all the different foundations that are supporting Flag Day. Here's some of the things that are done with the flag. It's displayed on all public buildings. That's like post offices, courthouses, state offices, military posts, all forts way back in when the West was being won. Millions of homes and vehicles display the flag. There's a proper way and an improper way to do that. We'll talk about that. Many businesses. I don't know if you've ever visited a sheet store in some of the McDonald's businesses. They have flags up. The United States flag is right there. Flown all the time, lit in the evening like it's supposed to be. Pretty good stuff. The flag's been carried into battle. We just talked about the first time. It was raised at Iwo Jima and was also raised at Ground Zero, if you remember the flag being raised on 9/11. It flies and has been flown over stadiums. And one of the things that we're not supposed to do, but they make it into hats and shirts, that's against the flag etiquette. It is draped over the coffins of military men and women who have served this country and either gave their life up or have just gone on to be with Jesus. We're going to talk about that also. Only because it was raining at our house, when it was thunder and lightning, we have the flags that were presented to us when my father passed away and my father-in-law passed away. They were both service people, my dad being in the Air Force and my father-in-law being a Marine. And the flag was presented to us as from a grateful nation, a ceremony that almost had to carry me out of there to see that honor guard do that. But it's draped over the coffins of our service people. Our flag, unfortunately, has also been spit on. Mm-hmm. It has been trampled and has been burned under the auspices of the First Amendment. Okay. Now, let me assure you, you burn a flag in front of me, I am just not that saved. And I know you have First Amendment rights. I know that. And I'd have to be prayed for because I have Second Amendment rights.
Yes, you do.
You would not want me to be in your presence if you're going to burn a flag or spit on it, treat it that way. You know, we're governed by our consent. Second Amendment ensures that. See, the way it was designed, people, the way it was designed, church, was that the people were supposed to have the guns, not the politicians.
Yes, you're right.
We're the ones who are supposed to defend the country. We're the ones who are supposed to have the weaponry. And if that makes the people that are governing us afraid, then the system's working perfectly.
That's right.
Amen. Perfectly. Freedom of speech. Let's talk about how we honor the flag. I hope I'm not boring you with this. This meant a lot to me. My computer skills and resources are very limited, so fortunately I'm married to a computer wizard. Daniel's girlfriend is also a computer wizard along with Daniel, and they were nice enough to pull some things up off the internet for me. There's an entire pamphlet called Honor the Flag, How to Properly Display the American Flag. And has related questions and a lot of things that, you know, anything that you want to find out about where it's displayed, how it's displayed, why it's displayed, what you should do at home, what you should do in your business. That's a whole, but I'm not going to go through all of them, but just some basic ones that we should all adhere to. The American flag is a solemn symbol of the United States history. That flag is so recognized, it invokes great passions from around the world. Some people consider us conquerors and all that stuff. But you know, we've never planted our flag in any ground that wasn't soaked with our blood, first of all. And we never did it in a conquest where this is our territory now. The flag was there to honor the people who sacrificed their life for it. It was never meant as a territorial stake in the ground. Amen? You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
You understand? When there are natural disasters, whether it's earthquakes, hurricanes, tornadoes, tsunamis, volcanoes erupting, and nations are devastated, that flag, the people that carry that flag are the first people to show up on the scene with medical help, ships producing fresh water to save millions of people's lives. The flag flies very, very high, and in this room should never be embarrassed about it.
Amen.
Amen. The American flag is a solemn symbol of the United States history. The 13 stripes representing the original colonies and the blue, they call it a canton, C-A-N-T-O-N. I think I'm right with that, their English teacher. Containing 50 stars, one for each of the states, are a reminder of the liberties our forefathers fought so valiantly to gain and what we fight vigilantly today to protect. According to the U.S. Flag Code, the American flag represents a living nation and is considered a living thing. To show respect, be sure to follow flag etiquette and properly hang the American flag. Now, displaying the flag. The flag is typically flown from sunrise to sundown. Raise the flag quickly and smartly and lower it ceremoniously. The flag should not be allowed to float, The flag should be allowed to flow freely. Never let the flag touch the ground or water below. Always be sure the canton or union is at the peak, and an upside down union or upside down flag represents a nation in distress. That's a signal. Illuminating the flag. If properly illuminated, the American flag may be flown 24 hours a day. Designate a spotlight specifically to illuminate the flag. It should be bright enough that the flag is recognized to anybody who observes it. Now, flag etiquette. If other flags will be flown at the same, it's called a halyard, flagpole, the American flag should always be at the peak. If other flags, in other words, if there's two flags on the same pole, the United States, the American flag should be the top. If other flags are on the adjacent staffs, the American flag should be raised and lowered first. Never place another flag above it or to the right of it. That's not to be done. And flags from other nations should be flown at the same level and to the left of the American flag. When flying with flags from other states and localities, the American flag should be in the center at the highest point. And when hanging the flag indoors, the union should be at the top and to the flag's right. The right of the flag is considered the sign of peace. Notice how our flag, if you notice any of the press conferences, anything that's on TV, that's how the flag should be hung. The blue field with the stars in it should be at the peak. It should always be to the viewer's left, to the viewers. Now, when speaking, the way it's set up, it should be from the speakers. It's set up this way because this is how the pulpit's set up. For whether it's a stage, whether it's a pulpit, whatever, this is the way it's supposed to be set up. There are rules for the flag to be flown at half staff. I don't want to run out of time. Because we've got to get to the folding of the flag, and I really want you to hear that. There are days observing they call flag flying days. January 1st, New Year's Day, January 20th, Inauguration Day, the third Monday in January, Martin Luther King's birthday, the February 12th, Lincoln's birthday, the third Monday of February, Washington's birthday, Easter Sunday, the second Sunday in May, Mother's Day, the third Sunday in May, Armed Forces Day, the last Monday in May, Memorial Day or Decoration Day, half staff until noon, and then raised to the full staff, June 14th, Flag Day, that's today, July 4th, Independence Day, the first Monday in September, which is Labor Day, September 17th is Constitution Day, October 27th, Navy Day, November 11th, Veterans Day, the fourth Thursday in November, Thanksgiving Day, December 25th, Christmas Day, other days as proclaimed by the President of the United States, the birthdays of states, date of admission, and state holidays. Other than that, you can fly the flag anytime you want to do that. If you're going to leave it overnight, it should be illuminated. It should not touch the ground. The rule that that most Americans are probably most familiar with is the guideline that the flag should never touch the ground. And that applies to the residential flags displayed as well as all the settings, around the different buildings and different government places. Likewise, resident flags should never be tipped or lowered in deference to another individual or flown upside down unless the signal is of extreme distress. Have you ever noticed when they walk out onto a football field or that the honor guard comes out carrying the flags, and when the national anthem's played, do you notice how they dip the other flags? That's done in deference to our flag. Yeah. Always reminds me of the story of the of the god Dagon when they brought the Ark of the Covenant in, and they come in the next day and Dagon was laying face down. Jehovah just tipped them, dipped them down there a little bit, right? And they said, well, we can't have that, so they stood him up. Next night they come in the next day. Not only was he falling over, his arms were chopped off too.
Yeah.
Our flag doesn't bow to any other flag. This pamphlet's available, and you know, if you have a flag at your house, you probably should get it and read through it. We're going to go to the ceremonial folding of the flag. This really, really touched my heart. As many times as I've seen this and it was handed to me, I did not know that when they're practicing to do this, this is recited out loud. The folds all mean something. The ceremony of folding the American flag may be narrated at special occasions. The following narration is from the United States Air Force Academy and is read aloud as each fold takes place. You've seen this done. Everybody knows what I'm talking about, how the flag is folded into the triangle shape. Every fold means something. I didn't know it either, brother. And I should have, because I said it was handed to me. The first fold of our flag is a symbol of life. This is read out loud. The second fold is a symbol of our belief in the eternal life. You're going to see a lot of this is based in Scripture. The third fold is made in honor and remembrance of the veteran departing our ranks who gave a portion of life for the defense of our country to attain a peace throughout the world. The fourth fold represents our weaker nature, for American citizens trusting it, what we do is trust in God. It is to Him we turn in times of peace as well as times of war for His divine guidance. See, that acknowledges our reliance on a Savior. The fifth fold is a tribute to the country, for in the words of Stephen Decatur, our country, in dealing with other countries, may she always be right, but it is still our country, right or wrong. The sixfold is where our hearts lie. It is with our heart that we pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The seventh fold is a tribute to the American forces, is a tribute to our armed forces. For it is through the armed forces that we protect our country and our flag against all her enemies, whether they be found within or without the borders of our republic. That's enemies, foreign and domestic. Mm-hmm. We are up to our necks in domestic enemies right now. The eighth fold is a tribute to the one who entered into the valley of the shadow of death that we might see the light of day, and to honor Mother, for whom it flies on Mother's Day. The ninth fold is a tribute to womanhood, for it has been through their faith, love, loyalty, and devotion that the character of the men and women who have made this country great have been modeled. The tenth fold is for Father. He too has given his sons and daughters for the defense of our country since they were first born. The 11th fold, in the eyes of the Hebrew citizen, represents the lower portion of the seal of King David and King Solomon. and glorifies in their eyes the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know the history of how far back the United States goes with Israel. The twelfth fold in the eyes of the Christian citizen represents the emblem of the of eternity and glorifies in their eyes God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. When the flag is completely folded and the stars are uppermost remaining, when the flag is completely folded, the stars are uppermost, reminding us of our national motto, "In God we trust." There is a movement to get that taken off of our courthouses, taken off of our money, to remove God from our society. The evidence is pretty clear. What happened when we removed God from our schools?
Yeah.
Body of Christ cannot let that happen again. And through prayer, it will not happen again. Several years ago, I was given by a man of God who I hold in very high esteem and respect, the American Patriot Bible. Mr. Dean Osmond and his lovely wife presented this to me. It sits on my table at home constantly. And now that my eyes are getting better, and they are, I can actually read out of this now. Or I couldn't for about 2 years, almost 3 years. And now I can start to read. And I'm going to do that.
Amen.
Now, you heard me reference the Pledge of Allegiance. Let's talk a little bit about that. Well, we've got a few minutes, and I won't keep you much longer, I promise you. Every morning, this is, you know, what's really neat about this part, Rory, this American Patriot Bible, this is at the beginning of the Book of Ruth. Pretty cool stuff, the place where they place this stuff. So if you've never read the Book of Ruth, you owe it to yourself to do that. Every morning across the United States of America, over 60 million teachers and students recite the Pledge of Allegiance. Congress's sessions open with the recitation of the pledge, and it is recited at many public events. The Pledge of Allegiance to the United States flag was first created in 1892. As a celebratory remark used throughout public schools in celebration of the 400th anniversary of Columbus's discovering the New World. Since then, it has become a national oath of loyalty to the country, a motto of unity, and a defense of the American way of life, and it should be recited by standing at attention, facing the flag, with the right hand over the heart. When not in uniform, men should remove any non-religious headdresses with their right hand and hold it at their left shoulder, the hand being over the heart. Persons in uniform should remain silent, face the flag, and stand at the position of attention. The Pledge of Allegiance was recited daily by children in schools across America and gained heightened popularity among adults during the patriotic fervor created by World War II. World War II, not that long ago. We're losing a lot of those folks right now.
Yes, we are.
Some of the greatest generations. It was an unofficial pledge until June 22, 1942, when the United States Congress included the pledge to the flag in the United States Flag Code as Title 36. This was the first official sanction given to the words that had been recited each day by children for almost 50 years. 1 year after receiving this official sanction, the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, if you've never heard me say this before, there is only one Supreme Court. And how dare we say that our court is supreme?
Right.
There is only one. We do not have it.
Yeah, that's right.
We do have a court. But however, since it's part of the branches of the government, executive, the judicial, and legislative branches, they're supposed to interpret the law, not make the law. The official okay, after receiving this official sanction, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that school children could not be forced to recite the pledge as part of their daily routine. In 1945, the Pledge of the Flag received its official title as the Pledge of Allegiance. Now, there are children that refuse to say that. There are people that refuse to say that. We have congressmen, men and women, that refuse to say it. They refuse to wear flag pins. And how we've ever elected these officials is just a mystery to me, Church. It really, really is. There is in this country a hate America first bunch of people. That's the enemy within. That's the domestic enemy. In 1954, President Dwight D. Eisenhower approved the words "under God" in the pledge in order to differentiate the United States from the officially atheist Soviet Union. As he authorized this change, he said, "In this way, we are reaffirming the transcendence of religious faith in America's heritage and future. In this way, we shall constantly strengthen those spiritual weapons which forever will be forever will be our country's most powerful resource in peace and in war." See, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty. They are mighty. Prayer, one of the strongest weapons that you can use. The original 29 words of the Pledge of Allegiance have now been moved to 31 words. All the young people here, you never learned the pledge the original way it was written, but after the words under, well, let's go through it. Notice it says, "I pledge allegiance." Oh, we don't. Okay, I'm not going to go to the scriptures, but in Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 through 37, and James chapter 5, verses 12, it says we're not supposed to swear. So if you go into a courthouse and are asked to come to the witness stand, lay your hand on the Bible, you can either swear or affirm. You can affirm things, but the Bible says not to swear by heaven or earth, because heaven's God's throne, earth's his footstool, and you can't even make one hair of your head a different color. You can't do that. Why are you swearing about anything? So let your yes be yes and your no be no. Other than that, it comes from the evil. So I pledge allegiance to the flag. You're not swearing allegiance. You are giving a pledge. You are doing it as an individual. I cannot pledge an allegiance. I cannot pledge your allegiance to anything, as I cannot become born again for you. You have to do this with your own mouth. You have to do this your own way. I had a person in my shop today, I'm sure was an escapee from the Western Psych, who was just railing on our president. And she said, "He's the reason there's so much hate in this country." Do you know the only person that can make you hate is you?
Yeah.
It's the same as being a hypocrite. The only person that can make you a hypocrite is you. If you choose to hate somebody, it's going to eat you alive. It's going to cost you your health. It might cost you your entire life. It could literally cost you your life.
Yeah.
And it's easy to hate somebody. I could feel the wrath building inside of me of this lady. I just said, "You must be completely out of your mind." That was my exact words. And if she never comes back again, then God answered one of my prayers. I mean, that's just, there's a brilliant businessman. While the president was speaking, he gave one of his best presidential speeches ever on a spur of the moment, what happened in Washington, D.C. today with the people being shot. It was amazing. But I can't pledge an allegiance for you. This you have to do as an individual. There are members of Congress that won't say this. There are members of Congress that won't wear flag pins or acknowledge the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the democracy.
No.
Oh, wait, we don't live in a democracy? Really? Now, that's in the news now. You know, the news has got it. Now, you know that we are living in a democracy. You know what a democracy is? It's three wolves and a sheep voting on what's for dinner. That's what it is. It's mob rule. We don't live in a democracy. We have democratic proceedings, democratic approaches to things, right? But we live in a representative republic. One of the founding fathers was asked, "What did you give us, sir?" A lady asked him. And he said, "Madam, a republic if you can keep it." Our founding fathers were divinely inspired. There's absolutely no doubt about it. "I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands." One nation. The original way, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. You heard me say that Dwight Eisenhower inserted the one nation under God, the two words under God, into our country. So that our foundations were remembered from the past and for the future. Young people, with all your smartphones, I have a not-so-smart smartphone. I know you have iPhones, right? I don't know why they call them iPhones. You look at them. That's why they call them iPhones. Now, I have an earphone. I actually listen to my phone. You folks have iPhone. Take your smartphone. Look up the comedian whose name is Red Skelton. And if you've never heard it, okay, he's black. It's a black and white, old times movie stuff. Look up Red Skelton's version of the Pledge of Allegiance. You will openly weep about it. It's absolutely moving. It'll never get old. Red Skelton was a very funny man. Never, to my knowledge, ever used a swear word ever, and was just funny. But listen to that, and listen to the appreciation that man has in his voice.
Yeah. He was very prophetic.
Yes, he was. So what we're going to do, church, because I don't know when the last time we recited the Pledge of Allegiance, we're going to stand. We are going to face this flag right here, our banner. Thank you, Jesus. And we are going to place our right hands over our heart, and we are going to say, "I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all." Hallelujah.